I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 of The Fan. While Broaddus is arriving in Indy for the Combine, you've already got Bobby Belt there. Sean and RJ will be arriving there later today to do their shows out there. So we got all kinds of stuff covered out at the Combine. Back here, we continue our NFL draft focus. Who are we focusing in on today?
It will be Avion Terrell and Kenyon Sadiq. But before we dive into that, I did want to add a little conversation because...
Is it about how much money you make?
All right. Somebody said they have an investment opportunity for us on the fan text. And then they said, just need to know what's your current salary before taxes. Yeah. Kevin responded, I make an S ton of money, don't worry about that, and signed it as me.
And which I don't think I've ever done before.
I think what's going to end up happening now is we're just going to end up having a very vicious battle of texting back the worst things possible and signing it as the other person.
And that's going to get us a meeting.
I think the more important thing is we should just be signing it as Alec. And so that's really going to drive his personality, his persona. And we can create the new character, Alec Medford. Also, have you come up with the shirts Medford Plex yet? Because I still think that's a very important. I think about that way too much. When I'm driving around, I'll be like, driving around the Medford Plex. And I'm like, that dude needs to make this a book.
Yes.
Dude, if we do a remote soon, I'm showing up with Medford Plex t-shirts.
There we go.
I will make it happen.
And also, I'll stand firm. That was a positive text.
Yeah.
It's talking about your wealth.
It's not true, but I appreciate you responding. Just know that person that got that text. It's not true. All right, so our friend Dane Brugler posted yesterday. I kind of hinted at this, but he posted his list of the 21 players that he can't wait to see at the scouting combine.
Okay.
And I wanted to point out a few because there's some players that we have brought up.
Ooh.
Player number one, I know Carnell Tate. Everybody's very excited to see Carnell Tate. Player number two, Dylan Thienemann. The safety out of Oregon that I think that both of us are very excited about. He did bring up Jermon McCoy. Jermon McCoy also on the list. One name that I'm looking forward to right now, Jack Kelly, linebacker out of BYU.
Okay.
I'm going to write that one down, and I need to go watch him because this dude has some very interesting traits that I want to find out. And then another one named Jake Goldbay, linebacker out of Cincinnati. 6'4", 240-pound frame. And Kevin, he is on Bruce Feldman's freak list.
Ooh, okay.
For his 1 point.
Which, as we pointed out, can have some really top-notch players.
He's got a 1.54 second 10-yard split.
Okay.
A 4.24 shuttle, a 10.7 broad jump, and a 36-inch vertical at 6'4", 240.
Oh, wow.
So,
man.
Yeah, this dude is a linebacker.
Those are some wide receiver numbers kind of right there.
Yeah, so and that's one of those body types that people are just going to froth at the mouth over when they see him in the tight shorts and shirt. They're going to be very excited. So I just want to throw out a couple of these names we've already discussed, we've already talked about, but there's a number of other ones that I think are interesting players you could find in other rounds. Akeem Mesidor also, he said, often labeled the other Miami pass rusher. Mesidor played his way out of Bane's shadow this season, but scouts are eager to see his testing numbers. Mesidor's had multiple injuries on his feet, so medicals are important. So there
you go. For sure. And if you could play your way, by the way, even adjacent to Bane's shadow, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and I think one of the other positives is your coach, not your head coach, your position coach, is a Hall of Fame defensive end.
Right.
Jason Taylor knows how to get to the quarterback. And I think that has something to do with when they go, they're going to be asking him, obviously, Mesidor questions and Bain questions during this run of the combine. But when they pick up that phone and they call Jason Taylor, don't you think that that name, that voice carries weight with it? Yes, these guys are ready for the NFL. Not because I need a job in the NFL.
Yeah,
I have a great job at Miami, but and not just because I want my guys to go on. I would hope that that guy is giving me legit information because I can go back to that well over and over and over.
And how many people do you think there are in the NFL who, when they hear from somebody specifically like that, they're like, that's as good of a recommendation as I can get. It's from somebody who, Hall of Famer, knows what it takes at that position to excel. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so that's where we're looking right there. So I just wanted to throw that out there, Alec. I think we're going to have to take note of that list. And start going and checking in on.
Yeah, if there's anybody we've missed,
some lower round picks because you know, dude, that's where once we get after the first round, which I think we've done everything we can to make sure we have everybody that could be there at 12 or 20. I think we're already done with that. Now we got to go find some players that are going to be where we might be picking after that, or who knows, maybe they surprise us and collect more picks.
I would not hate that
some
at
way,
all.
Shape, so you want to trade George Pickens for picks is what you're saying.
I would rather trade the picks we have for more picks.
You hate our picks.
Oh, look. Okay, you know what? Here's a hot take. I'm just going to throw it out there. I would rather trade George Pickens than have him play in the franchise tag this year. That's my hot take. Make a long-term agreement or move on.
You would rather have him on a long-term deal than trade him?
Correct. Yeah, so the hierarchy goes like this. Long-term deal with George Pickens that gets done in the next week and a half before free agency, maybe 2 weeks, before free agency really starts. If you cannot do that, trade him. Third option, let him play in the franchise tag. That is my hierarchy of desire for, well, I'm going to stop right there because that almost sounded really bad, for the outcomes of the George Pickens situation.
Have you ever wanted a player to play in the franchise tag?
Yes, it was, son of a gun.
Dak.
No. Oh my gosh, this is gonna piss me off. It was DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence, because you had seen the flashes that you're like, holy crap, this dude could be awesome. But there have also been injury concerns.
Yeah.
And so I did want him to play on the franchise tag because I was like, hey, give me a clean season or clean-ish season. Like, let's go full on.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Long-term deal and everything like that. I don't think you have that same concern. Well, you don't have that same concern from an injury perspective with Pickens. I know some people are worried about attitude and all of that. I think he brought you a pretty damn good attitude this year. So I hate the idea because of the way the salary cap works. I hate the idea of sitting with a chunk of $28 million that you can't do anything about. Like, that's probably what Micah's cap hit would have been with a contract extension, $28 million. And he's making, what, $45 million? That's how big of a deal it is when you can't move any of those numbers. So I do not want that to happen.
Somebody said trade Pickens for picks, go get Alec Pierce and draft defense. I like that in theory. I think Alec Pierce is a really good deep threat. I want him. The slant was such a weapon with Pickens.
Right.
That's the only reason. And then somebody said Hierarchy of Desire sounds like an album for progressive rock band.
Prog rock, as they like to say. And look, I just disagree with this person. I am really sorry. I did not mean to hijack your segment. Brother Kevin, you cannot trade George Pickens under any circumstance. I just don't agree with that. I want him to be here. And the trade I would love to make is obviously for another first rounder if you had to. I am more against the idea of letting somebody play on the rookie option or the franchise tag, because you just can't manipulate that money in any way. And I think that's a huge albatross towards what we're trying to do in free agency. And I understand negotiations are complicated, but like, I really, really think the Cowboys need to get this done in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and start with Kenyon Sadiq, because this dude is exciting to watch. However, let me go ahead and preface this with, sometimes he doesn't catch the football that you want him to catch.
Okay.
He'll make some like outrageous catches, and then sometimes you're like, hey, why didn't you catch that easy one right there?
Right.
And that's a very frustrating thing, because a dude with this kind of talent, this kind of explosiveness, this is where you're like, oh, I like, you can be something. So I wanted to set it with that. Understand, when you look at production, there might be some limitations there that might be better. He might be able to solve it. Maybe he can work on some of these things, on catching these balls without turning his head and trying to take off upfield a little too soon. Leave that asleep now. This dude is... I have him down as Jake Ferguson, but faster and more explosive. He will lower his shoulder and put it right through you. He will run over you. He will also finesse his way around you and go catch the ball up in the sky. He is a fantastic deep threat. Body type kind of looks like A.J. Brown, where I'm like, is he a receiver? What exactly is this guy? Because tight end, physical build, 6'3", 245, like, he is built, and he's an athletic freak too. And so this is the type of tight end that I wish the Cowboys needed a tight end.
Yeah.
Because this guy is probably going to be a perennial all-pro tight end for somebody out there. Alec, that's where I'll leave it to you.
Intriguing.
Just to kind of define how he is physically, how he looks, how he's built, I don't remember if I came up with this or if a friend did when we were watching one of his games live. If you think of like any mainstream artist right now, musician, think of their bodyguards that are following them into buildings and stuff. Like, think of like SZA, The Weeknd. They have these like 6'5" massive humans wearing all black that are terrifying, and they don't need guns because they have two of them called their biceps. Like, that is Kenyon Sadiq. He is absurd. Athletic freak. I think he's what the league is going to hope the tight end position transitions into. Like, he's the future of the tight end position, the more athletic guy that can run any route you ask him to. That's why Corey's right when he says, is this guy a receiver? Because he has a receiver route tree. He is that athletic. He is that twitchy. He gets in and out of his breaks like a receiver, like an A.J. Brown type. If you want to talk about the connection that Dak and Jake Ferguson had with the seam, this is a guy that he is going to vandalize the seam in NFL games. He is going to be a nightmare for linebackers to cover because he is just faster than most people over the middle of the field. Again, Corey mentioned he might not catch every football that you want him to. As a run blocker, he needs a little bit more refinement because defensive ends will beat him every now and then. He gives up leverage in the run game, which is an issue, but it's not anything that he can't fix because, again, he is stronger than most people he's going to line up in front of.
And he can fix it with a touchdown. You know, like, that's, he'll be like, oh, I'll just go catch a touchdown instead of blocking that defensive end right there. And that, I think that the other thing, as you're talking about there, it's going to give defensive coordinators a fit. If, let's say, you put him with a Pickens. That safety is confused now. He's like, which one of these guys do I cover? You send both of those guys deep, and it's just, you wreck somebody's day. And so, like, this is, I don't think the Cowboys are going to want to pursue him because they have other needs.
Right.
Lots of defensive needs. But, Alec, you brought up a very fun game. What offense would you like to see this guy in? And I think there's just so many fun offenses that he would fit into that like to throw the ball around. Alec, you said Bucks, Rams, then he threw the Niners in there.
Ooh, yeah. I could see the Rams and the Niners for sure.
Yeah, because remember, the Rams are the first team in NFL history to ever use three tight ends at the same time.
They
remember?
Love it.
Yeah, they love doing that. And, you know, Sean McVay is the forefather of that, I've been told. So, Yeah, I think the 49ers make a ton of sense just because George Kittle, he's going to be out for pretty much the entire season, I would imagine. As long as they move that power plant away from the facility or move a facility to a new facility.
Still under investigation.
Yeah, any offense that involves the tight end as a receiver, not an inline blocker all the time. If you want to split them out wide, you can do that. So any of those creative offensive masterminds that like to ask people to move out of position, he's going to thrive in.
Dude, the Bears already have a really good tight end. Somebody said the Lions would be a great place. Kansas City would be a great. Actually, Kansas City's a fantastic fit. Now that I think of that, and considering what Andy Reid's been able to do with the tight end over his entire career, too, I threw the Eagles in as a conversation. If they're going to move on from AJ Brown, Alec punched me and said never talk about the Eagles again. And I was like, you got a good point. I shouldn't
Nick
bring
Sirianni
that up.
Nick Sirianni didn't help you with that.
And here's the thing that's happening now. So he's hyped up like Kyle Pitts. Everyone said all this about Kyle Pitts. It's unfortunate that Kyle Pitts did not turn out. That is true. I would say, I always tell people this, when they ask anything about any of the players we're talking about, go watch the film yourself. And when you watch the film yourself, tell me what you think. Because right now, I don't get hyped up about certain people like this, the athleticism, the build. If he can snatch the ball out of the sky more frequently, he's going to be a very fun receiver, tight end for somebody.
All right, well, we will pick up on the other one tomorrow, but thank you, gentlemen, as always, very much for that.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of The Preamble. Listen, I know you're dealing with a lot, and it's even harder to do it when the world around you feels chaotic. But I'm here to help. Each week, my expert guests and I slow things down to talk about the stories shaping our world, what's really happening behind the headlines, why it matters, how it all connects, and if you're ready for real understanding and maybe even a little bit of hope, follow and listen to The Preamble wherever you get your podcasts.